0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cyril Dessau says he has big shoes to fill in Alfredo Morelos. Kyogo's hoping to keep Celtic fans smiling after signing his new deal, and Hearts are ready to slash away allocations ahead of the new season. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Well, Andrew, I'm just getting up to speed with the news. I'm glad you filled me in there. I've had a weekend away at Silverstone at the Grand Prix, so wasn't paying much attention to football, but I was
aware. And you haven't stopped going on about it since as well.
Listen, anybody will listen. I'll be happy to tell them a few stories about me and Brad Pitt rubbing shoulders on the start line.
Were you near Brad Pitt?
I was about probably a mile and a half away from him, but I could still see all the furor round about him. But it was a fantastic weekend. But glad to be back here and glad to have Scottish football back on my radar again. And it's the time of year where new players are coming in the doors, and the new recruit, Cyril Dessau's doing his first press conference, saying himself he's got big shoes to fill, and he'll want to go off to a flyer. And teams jetting off around the world for their pre-season camp, Celtic in Portugal this week, just off the back of Callum McGregor signing a new deal, which will buoy all Celtic fans, I'm sure. And other teams, new strips being released, I see, by the day. The competition for best strip released
so far. And worse in some cases. I've seen plenty of fans unhappy with their own fans.
And worse.
Their own team strips.
Still an exciting time of the season, and I'm guessing fans will just be dying for the competitive stuff to kick off just round the corner.
Yeah, just round the corner. Saturday, it is the Viaplay Cup group stages, so maybe you are a team that is in action this weekend and you want to chat about it. You're looking forward to that coming back. Maybe you're a Rangers fan that's interested in the transfer business that's being done and you've heard what Cyril Dessau has had to say today. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's excited by that news yesterday that Callum McGregor signed a new deal. We'll also hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou. There's been more from him today speaking about Brendan Rodgers and the fact that Brendan Rodgers was in constant contact with him when he was Celtic manager. So loads to get on board with tonight. 0141 951 1025 to talk to us, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. But it does seem like it's been a short summer, doesn't it, when you think the competitive action's only a few days away. I suppose it's been split up with the Scotland games as well, but with Celtic and Rangers away on their pre-season trips at the moment, there'll be a lot of other teams back here working hard knowing that they've got their first game this weekend.
Yeah, of course, comes round pretty quickly now, Andrew. Pre-season, we keep going on about it, isn't what it used to be, where you had the 8 weeks off and you had to go through a 2 weeks, a slog, a just hard running before you even seen a ball. Things are much different now. Managers have got to prepare in a different fashion, particularly those who start in the Viaplay Cup this weekend. So all preparations have to be done. Incredibly difficult for those teams to get new players through the door. And, you know, Celtic Rangers, of course, they go about their preparations like they always do. Celtic in Portugal at the minute, and then they'll go on to have other pre-season games. But for those players, their season really starts now. You know, all the hard work's done. It's just getting that match fitness right, and they'll be up and running before we know it.
Yeah, because there'll be some managers that will already be happy with their squads that maybe didn't lose too many at the end of last season because they were contracted or managed to retain quite a lot of players and have managed to bring some in. There'll be other managers that will maybe be going into this weekend worrying about numbers and thinking that they wish they'd done a bit more business, even though it still is very early in the transfer window, but the competitive games come around early.
Well, the lower down the ladder you go, the more difficult it gets. I've spoken before on here about how difficult it was when I was at the lowest rung of the ladder, and you're trying to get players in and you're not quite sure of them, but there's no time to trial them in pre-season friendlies because these are your games at the beginning of the season. Of course, you need to be signed to take part in these games. So incredibly difficult. Of course, when you go up the levels and up the league, it gets a wee bit easier. I don't know, I'm kind of split on the Viaplay Cup being so soon. And, you know, as a player, yeah, I hated pre-season games, but they served a purpose for me. They got me fit and ready for competitive action. And then when, if I was a player just now and I had competitive games, I'd be thinking, right, great, we're right back at it. But it's a long old season. You know, when you think of the amount of games that these players will take on from now until next May, the Scottish Cup final, it's a lot of games to fit in, so the season really starts now.
Well, we will hear a bit from Cyril Dessers and Ange Postecoglou later on, but more importantly, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Let's go straight to the phones. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, how are you tonight?
Very well, thanks. All right, guys. Good to hear from you. And thanks
you too,
for
Brian.
Taking my call.
No worries.
Well, we were speaking about you know, the signings and the action that's going over, all the clubs trying to get players in. I want to say that signing Cal Mac on a 5-year deal is the best signature we've had since we signed Henrik Larsson. And I kid you not, that guy is the best football player in Scotland. We go week in, week out, and what we do is, to be fair to the other players in a match, you know, who's your man in a match, we always say we sign Cal Mac because it's unfair on the other players. And at the year, one of your producers asking me, player of the year would have been Cal Mac had he not been injured. That's how important this guy is. He recharges on the passion of Celtic supporters. He lives every single, he kicks every ball for us, he lives every single moment, and he's a consummate point for Scotland. And I would have thought there's some cheeky chairman in England, or maybe two or three of them, would have made a move just because it had been a bit unsettling with Andy leaving. But Cal Mac's even more important a signing than Brendan Rodgers is. Because this guy will stay to the end of his career, and he'll bleed sweat and tears for Celtic.
I mean, Brian's saying there that it is the best signature Celtic have had since Henrik Larsson, the best bit of business since signing Henrik Larsson. Do you go along with that?
That's high praise indeed. I'm trying to rack my brains quickly for who the signings have been since here, but look, you know, Brian's point, how important he is to Celtic, the full club, is not lost on me, because of course he is. He's such an influential character. Brian's right, he touched on the point about being man of the match, and you know, you always kind of say Callum McGregor often gets overlooked for that, just because he plays at such a level every week that people just get used to how good he is.
People just expect those type of performances from him.
And Andrea, I know firsthand how difficult it is to play for the club and how difficult it is to keep standards up, and listen, I fell way below them many occasions. I look at this guy who just churns out performance after performance, year after year. Incredibly difficult, and you know, he does carry a lot of the weight, the expectation on his shoulders. New guys coming in, he has to show them the ropes now, rather than just being a player who enjoyed his football. That's the way it comes from being the captain. And the comparison to Brendan Rodgers, well, probably split with that, because your manager's obviously your driving force and takes all responsibility, but your influence on the pitch, the captain who wins trophies, is probably just equally as important as well. So a 5-year deal, a tremendous piece of business, and every Celtic fan will be absolutely delighted.
Brian, high praise from you. Does that mean you rank Cal McGregor above what Scott Brown did for Celtic?
Yes, right now I do, because Callum's the present captain, and I think he can go on to, because you remember, he's won the 5 trebles in that 7-year series, and he'll actually go on and eclipse Scott Brown. And Scott Brown was absolutely a massive hero of mine, but I don't pick heroes very well. I've met Callum recently, and my pal Kevin Mackin, who's in the hospital, getting out quite soon, Kevin is, and he was, he's just an amazing guy. He's got a presence about him, quiet, assured and confident, and it just makes you feel that's your captain, that makes you feel good. Bruni was a different type. You knew fireworks, Bruni would wind you up, whereas, and I'm not being disrespectful to Bruni saying this, Callum's a much better football player, and he's got a better football brain. But Bruni could organise and get people playing, and he could get better out of people that were maybe not quite as good as what they eventually showed up. Callum, I just think he's the man of our times, and now he's everything that we need as a Celtic group to lead us, you know what I mean? And there's been unsettling times, but Callum's been there steady in the ship, and that's just amazing. He's got some size of earnings.
You know what, I was looking at a compilation yesterday, just it was showing you his goals, and that's something that's kind of probably dried up a wee bit, because the different role he's been asked to play, and that shows how good a player he is. when he was a young kid, when I was there, he was a winger. He then changed to a midfielder, but an attacking role, and he would score important goals in important times, but then drops deeper to fill that role from Scott Brown. So it takes a certain type of player to be able to fulfil all those positions.
Could you see Brendan Rodgers changing his role at all, going back to how he played him in his first spell?
No, I couldn't see it, because I think Celtic at this time have players that can do that and very well. So why would you move him about? Maybe within games, if a game's going a certain way that Brendan Rodgers doesn't like, and he needs someone more influential who he knows he can rely on further up the pitch, then perhaps. But I think that role, he's got it down to a T. The way he controls games, dictates the pace in them, keeps the ball, very rarely gives it away. It's worth its weight in gold at a club like Celtic. You need someone like that in the middle of the pitch for you.
John's talking about the different leadership styles of Scott Brown and Callum McGregor. Callum McGregor's very much a lead by example type of captain, isn't he? That he sets the standard on the pitch. He's maybe not the loudest person. I think he maybe doesn't get enough credit in that side of things, because you do see him, you know, trying to organise and shout at players, and he obviously, you know, is the main feature in the huddle as well. Maybe not to the extent of Scott Brown vocally, but on the pitch, his influence is obvious.
Well, of course, and I've played with players like that who are a quiet captain and go about their business and just are so consistent, and you look up to them. You really do, Andrew. You look up to them in the pitch and you think, well, if they're leading the club and they're going about their business in the right way, then I don't want to let this guy down as well. So that's the influence these guys have. I don't think Callum's ever going to be the type to write rousing speeches that he'll rhyme off in the dressing room. I don't think he's like that at all. But one thing for sure, he's got the respect of all those Celtic first team players, and that's what you need if you're a captain at that club. And like Brian was saying, he's got the trophies in the medal hall to back it up for anyone who's coming through that door to say, look at this, I've been here this long, this is what's expected of you when you come to this club.
Brian, you're talking about that being a great bit of business. What is the next bit of business that Brendan Rodgers needs to do?
Well, for me, Brendan's probably had a wee bit more information for longer than what the media and us fans have had. So I'm positive that Celtic have done due diligence. They know where they want to strengthen. For me, for myself, I would like us to have another striker. I'd like us to put pressure on Taylor, who's been fantastic, but I'd like somebody to back up Carol Starfelt. He's brilliant. He's been great, because they're both centre-halves. But is it now time for Celtic to lift the lid on, marquee signings? It doesn't always work. I mean, look the last couple of years. It's not been marquee signings. We've come in and done a full rebuild with Ange, and you've turned marquee signings out. There's a Jota gone for 25. You know, any numbers that you can run about the team now. So it's very healthy. So what you want to do is be careful that we're not, over-egging the pudding to do what? You know what I mean? Because I think we'll go to Scotland. And no disrespect to any other team. I think we'll go to Scotland kind of under wraps with the teams that we've got just now. And I know that luck can pay favour to others, and you can have an off day and you can knock to the cups. That's fine. But over the course of the season, I think we've got the best team. That's been proven over the last year. Do you then go and spend the 40, 50 million with these two or three or four marquee signings, and then does that get you further in Europe? We hope so. I think that's the business model for Celtic's been incredible for 25 years. Considering that football bleeds money left, right and centre all over the world, Celtic's actually made money and made themselves the prominent team in Scotland, the prominent team that will get a shot at the Champions League. Can they take the chance and the financial risk to buying players that will see them over the line to a top 16, a last 16 or last 8 in the Champions League? That would be a dream.
Mark, is that a big debate for Celtic this summer? Is it continuing the model they've had in the last couple of years, where they've brought in players for, I think, what sort of the maximum they've spent on players in terms of Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers, $6.5 million really, and been able to develop them, and in the case of Jota, sell them on? Would you expect to see them be shopping in that market again this summer, or with the finances, which, you know, they've said themselves in the London Stock Exchange are going to be, you know, significantly better than they'd previously forecasted, would you expect them to maybe go up a level? Or is it just all dependent on who's available and what fee it would take to get them?
It's a fashionable thing that fans, all fans, every club want this, the word marquee signings, right? That's what everybody wants. And Celtic and Rangers fans are no different. But it's how you attract those players. It's my belief that Celtic will keep the same model. They will keep spending 6, 7, 8 million. Perhaps it may go to over 10. But I don't think that's ever going to get you. What is a marquee signing now? A marquee signing now would cost you 20 million, 20 plus million.
I suppose it's all relative, isn't it? In what league you consider, are and what team.
Yeah, so getting someone like that to come to Scottish football is incredibly difficult. Whether getting someone like Jota or Carter Vickers, who's been around the block a wee bit down south, but still going to cost you 7 to 10 million. Yeah, I believe Celtic will continue in that fashion. But I don't think we're going to get this big name that's played X amount of times in the Premier League or went to Serie A or went to La Liga and played and then decided, oh, by the way, I fancy coming to Glasgow where it's going to rain for 11 months of the year, but I'll get 6 Champions League games. I don't believe that's going to be the case. And it's a model that works for Celtic. And I know they've got these finances. I listened to Hugh the other night saying there's no point in continuing to make money if you're not going to spend it. But again, it's getting people to buy into. Of course, the club is huge. It's a huge attraction, but the league isn't, unfortunately. And that's where Celtic will stumble and Brendan Rodgers may stumble to get some of these bigger names that the fans want up to Scotland.
Well, thank you to Brian. Let's hear a bit from Ange Postecoglou because he has been talking in the last couple of days in his media conference down at Tottenham. He's been speaking about Brendan Rodgers and the impact he'll think he'll have in his return at Celtic.
He's absolutely the right man, mate. He's a fantastic manager and he loves that football club. He was constantly messaging me while I was a Celtic manager to make sure that I stayed on track and we had success. And I've exchanged messages with him. He's been, you know, look, to be fair, when I got the role, he was very, very supportive at the start. And, even when I got this role, he sent me a nice message and I've kind of reciprocated with that and stayed in contact with him and all the staff there. And like I said, I've got no doubt they'll have great success and hopefully make an impact Champions League. I know that's what his ambition is. And that group of players and that staff certainly have the capabilities of doing that. So hopefully that happens. Thank you, mate.
We've got time for just a couple more, Tom.
Well, it's quite interesting to hear Ange Postecoglou saying that in his 2 years at Celtic that Brendan Rodgers was messaging him constantly about the club and, you know, when he's got his own things going on down in the English
Premier
League. I was going to
say, maybe he would have been better served concentrating on what was happening at Leicester at the time. But, look, I think it highlights, Ange Postecoglou highlighting there what Celtic means to Brendan Rodgers. If anybody was in any doubt about how he felt about the club, then that kind of tells you that he was still a supporter from a distance. He still had a huge job himself to do, but he still found time to contact Ange Postecoglou. Brendan Rodgers, established manager in the Premier League. Ange Postecoglou, a relative unknown coming to Scottish football, yet Brendan Rodgers still found the time to exchange messages. So it tells you the type of man he is and it tells you what he felt about Celtic.
Well, Rangers fans, we're going to be hearing from Cyril Dessers after the break and we want to hear from you as well. So give us a call, 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to join us as well, 01419511025. A bit of breaking news coming out of Motherwell during the break. It's that Riku Danzaki has left the club. He joined in January, made just 4 appearances, maybe not too much of a surprise there, Mark. Didn't really seem to be in Stuart Kettlewell's plans at all.
No, not at all. I think there was huge levels of optimism when he came in, particularly where Motherwell were at that time, if you remember. I mean, they badly needed reinforcements and everybody that they brought in that window seemed to either be injured or just not good enough at that time. So I don't think it's a surprise to many Motherwell fans, but he's got a job, Stuart Kettlewell, you know, rebuilding some of that squad because a few departures now, he'll be looking to put his own stamp on it.
Yeah, there aren't many that have come in. He was actually on a contract until 2025, so not really the best bit of business that Motherwell
great
have done
agent,
there.
No. But you've got to say, well done to the agent.
Yeah, Stuart Kettlewell has said during this pre-season that, you know, he's trying desperately hard to get players in and isn't finding it overly easy. Connor Wilkinson, the Irish striker, mm-hmm. has come in, but apart from that, they've been struggling.
Well, it's probably the toughest bit about management. I think everybody would tell you that about recruitment. And like I say, the lower down the levels you go, the more the job falls on the manager. So, listen, if you're Brendan Rodgers, of course you've got a say in it, but you've got a full recruitment team behind you. Same with Beale, he'll have a full, you know, scouting staff and put things on his desk, and then he'll give it the okay. But I think when you get to like Stuart Kettlewell, of course he'll have a bit of a team around him, but it'll be him. He'll be trying to cherry pick those players, and then it's about meeting them face to face and convincing them to come to Motherwell that's the right club for them. So, incredibly difficult time. Andy's juggling all this while trying to get his team fit and prepare for the competitive games. So I don't envy him. It's a tough old job, but he needs reinforcements if he's want to start the season as well as he finished it last year.
Yeah, well, we're going to hear from Rangers fan John in a second, but first of all, let's hear from new Rangers striker Cyril Dessers, because he's been talking about replacing Alfredo Morelos at the club.
Yeah, of course. Alfredo did amazing things for Rangers and at Ibrox. So it's never easy to come after a good striker like he was. But on the other side, I cannot look at the past. I'm only here for the present and for the future. And I hope to do some nice things, to do some good things for Rangers as well. And I hope I can build a similar relationship with the fans. But that will depend on our relationship and on the things I do on the pitch and off the pitch. So I'm confident that could work.
John, you've heard a bit from one of your new signings there. Are you optimistic about him?
Very much so. I know his record in Italy wasn't great last year, but he was playing in a struggling Italian team who got relegated, and Italian football was very tough. There's not many players that go there that score 30, 40 goals a season. So I'm optimistic. And in fact, the last three Nigerians that have played for Rangers, Bassi, Aribo, Balogun, have done pretty well for us. So maybe with that nationality will do well. But it's quite exciting that we got all these players in. People did say that these targets, and sometimes managers, it's just lip service, but these targets, he's been on, met them, he's looked them in the eye, and he's thought that these are going to fit in at Rangers. And six new players, five out of six in so far. I think we've got another couple in, another couple will leave, and it's going to be an exciting season not just for Rangers, Scottish football in general, with the league and the national team.
Well, you make that point about him playing in Serie A last season. Let's hear the next clip, actually, where he goes on to talk about his experiences in Italy and how they've helped him.
It made me a better player. I've been dreaming about playing in a top five league since I was a kid, actually, and to finally be there, witness it, be part of that was amazing, and I learned a lot there. When you play against some of the best defenders in the world, you learn how to use your body, play smarter, play faster, all of that, and on top of the experience I had from Belgium and Netherlands, that made me a more complete football player, and I hope I can convert it and show it to the Scottish League as well, and yeah, get firing again. I'm pretty flexible in that, but I think it's more than just playing with a partner. I think football is more complicated than that. Football is so fluid nowadays. You don't really work with like formations, like we play this system or this system. I think it's more about principles. And I think what's clear with us, we have a lot of good players also who can play around the strikers. And I'm speaking about midfielders, wingers, second strikers. So, and I think that can work with all of them. Of course, they are quality players. So then it's a lot easier to find each other and to adapt to each other. So I think with actually either of the names you just mentioned, I think that could click very well and that could work, definitely.
Yeah, he's talking about his experiences in Serie A last season. I suppose there's two ways people can look at it. You can look at the numbers and say he scored six goals. He was in a team that was struggling and got relegated, and the numbers on paper may concern some people, but then he's looking at it as a case of he was playing against, you know, some of the top defenders in the world in a great league, and he feels he's learned a lot from it.
Yeah, of course, there is that argument, and he'd be right in highlighting that. It's a very competitive league, we know that, very defensive league, so yeah, he's right to point that out. If I was looking at it from a Rangers fan point of view, I'd be looking at his previous record to the Italian league. You wouldn't say he's an out-and-out goal scorer.
It's strange because he's had some seasons where he's hit some good numbers, and we were speaking to, I think it was Michael Statham last week, who was a Dutch football expert, that essentially said that, you know, he had some really good seasons but never quite followed them up with another good season. So, you know, at NAC Breda he got 29 goals, 12 goals the season after that, but then faded a bit, but then 18 goals the next season, but then faded a bit again after that, then scored 20 at Feyenoord in one season where he was the top goal scorer in the Europa Conference League, but didn't manage to back up the numbers again last season. Rangers will be hoping that he'll be able to find that consistent level.
Well, that's what he needs to do, because that's what any striker coming to Rangers has to live up to. Particularly when you're replacing someone like Morelos, who's been there for a long time, who holds scoring records in Europe, and he's going to be big shoes to fill. But I like the way he speaks, Dessers. He seems a confident lad. He's highlighting what's went on in the past. I think rightly so. He's acknowledging the job he's got to do. And he's aware that he has to perform on the pitch and off the pitch, he highlighted as well. And that's been the downfall of some people in the past, where off the pitch antics haven't been what the club expects. So Dessers is well aware of what he has to live up to. But he will be judged on the pitch. And as a striker, he will be judged on his goals. So I don't think the Rangers fans will care too much of what he does outside the box, as long as he can put the ball away when it falls to him in the box.
Yeah, John, that's six new signings already. Was that freshness needed in the Rangers squad?
Oh, definitely. Obviously, the five players that left, at one point, the Rangers team kind of picked itself. But last year, we had a lot of injuries, but the players that have left, I did need freshened up. We did freshen up last season, but unfortunately, due to injuries and players not working out, it went against us. But, I mean, at one point, we brought in Suter, and on paper, that looked a great sign, and he got injured his first game, missed him. Kolak was banging the goals in, then he gets injured. Lawrence got injured in his first three or four games. So, touch wood, the players that came in, not just about form, we got a wee bit luckier with injuries. I mean, I know teams have got big squads, but our injury record last year was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's something Mark, that's something that Rangers will be hoping to address this season. And sometimes it just can come down to bad luck, injuries, but, you know, there were various times throughout the season where Rangers had a lot of players out. It's just not sustainable.
No, of course not. You need luck in that respect. And, you know, people are getting frustrated when the medical staff start coming into the spotlight. You know, people started criticising them last season, and you think, well, it's not their fault. You know, sometimes injuries happen, as unfortunate as they are. And John's right, there was a run of players that get injured at the wrong time before their Rangers careers had really taken off. But I think the likes of Suter came in at the tail end of the season. I've always said that John Suter will be a terrific signing for Rangers, and I believe if he stays fit, he will prove that. Lawrence will be an interesting one whenever he gets fit. Is there any timeline on when he's back, Andrew? Is he back for pre-season, or is that going to run on a
bit? I think Rangers were hoping that he would be back for around the start of this season. He has obviously had a lot of setbacks.
So I think he'll be an interesting one, because he certainly looked promising when he kicked off his Rangers career. You know, so if they get a couple of those back in fighting fit, along with the new signings, then you would think it should look like a brand new Rangers side, with brand new ideas from Michael Beale, because you've got to think that the manager himself has got to be putting ideas into the players' heads that he maybe didn't have time to do when he took over from Van Bronckhorst in December, because the pressure's on you every single week. This is the only time that you get to work with your team, your players, your new players over a prolonged period without real pressure on you. So you would think that it's going to be a new Rangers. I guess it's what that looks like and what they're coming up against. Is it going to be better than the new look Brendan Rodgers Celtic?
How many more are you expecting in the door, John?
I'd say a couple, but I also feel two or three might leave. Scott Wright possibly. Hadji, he's come back, and I'm still not sure there's talk of him leaving. Ben Davies maybe going back to England, but ones will leave, because even though put players in, we've got quite a big squad, because five left and we've got six in. So it's going to be an interesting transfer window end. We've still got another 6 weeks to go, but I think one or two will leave, but one or two will come in. Possibly another two, maybe a loan player in. I know Beale wasn't a thing maybe loaned, but we brought in Seema for Brighton. that I'm quite excited about as well. So we'll see. I never make predictions. I hope for the best, and it is interesting and exciting to be a Rangers fan now with the signings. And with the two we brought in January, Raskin and Campbell, they've worked out well. So if you're basing it on the two players that have played for Rangers under Beal that were signed, well, at least hopefully 50% of them work out with the other six.
When it comes to departures and the ones John is talking about, one of the ones that he didn't mention has, you know, his name's been in the newspapers the last couple of days, Antonio Colak. Michael Beale has signed quite a few attacking players already in this window. There's talk of interest from Germany and interest in Italy. He obviously had a big period out injured last season, but didn't really seem to be in favour towards the end of the season when he was fit. Would you be surprised if he left in this window? Because he was scoring goals when he played, especially at the start of the season.
Well, I'm surprised that he got quite a raw deal. If you've got a striker who can put the ball in the back of the net like Colak showed, then I think he's worth having about the building. But you're right, Beale just didn't seem to take to him. Now, I know he was coming back from injury, but there was times where you looked at Beale. Morelos clearly had threw the toys at the pram. He wasn't going to play. And Colak was still struggling to get a sniff. So, surprise.
Even at times that it was sort of Sakala and Matondo were the front two.
I was looking at that thinking, well, surely Colak's worth a shout to see if he can fit into Beale's plans.
Does that maybe say more in terms of stylistically that the players he was playing up there were, you know, quicker players?
Quicker,
that,
more
that might
direct,
be something to do with it.
More mobile, probably. And of course, there's an argument for that. If that's the way you want to play football and you want to press through the front, then okay, that's a better bet. But if you want somebody, when a chance falls to you 12 yards out, I would back Colak over Sakala. But obviously, Beale sees him every day in training. So he must have had a good look at Colak and thought, I don't fancy him. So I guess the answer to the question, Andrew, is no, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes now because he got such little game time under Michael Beale at the tail end of the season.
Would you want to see Antonio Colak stay, John?
Seeing you look at his stats over the years of being a player, it doesn't seem to stay about a club for long. I don't think that's anything to do with his temperament or whatever, but the style of play Rangers play, I'm not saying he's slower, but it's quite dynamic, it's quite fast paced, one touch, and get the ball into the box, he will score, but it's his hold up play you're looking for as well at times. And he did score a lot of goals, but there was times where if the ball came to him, he wasn't holding it up, he was outside the box, he didn't do much outside the box. And I know for a striker you want him to inside the box, but it was just times where he looked a bit slower than the other players with him, just from my opinion of what I've seen when he played for Rangers.
The one thing with Michael Beale is because he's been in since November, he's not making snap judgments on these players. He's had months and months for these players to either prove their worth to him or for him to work out the best way to play them. So you would expect that if any players are leaving this summer, then it'll be because Michael Beale has just thought, well, you know what, they're replaceable, they're just not going to get in his team.
Of course, that's the way you have to look at it. He's obviously studied them every single day. It's okay for us sitting here and we see them once a week, you know, on match day. And sometimes at that, it's only 20 minutes and you think, oh, they look okay, they've done quite well. When you're a manager, you're assessing players every day, not just on the training pitch, but how they are off it. So you're right, Andrew, whoever departs is departing for a reason, because Michael Beale doesn't think they're going to progress Rangers any further, and because he believes that he's got players that are going to come through the door who'll do a better job.
Well, thank you to John. Before the break, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The Cash Register.
Clyde One. Well, two calls this week and we've already had two winners on the Cash Register. It was Gary in Rutherglen today who took home more than £37,000.
I don't know what to say. I'm shaking. I'm in shock.
£37,432 is all yours, Gary.
That's unbelievable, mate. I cannot believe it, honestly. Well, I'm still in shock. I still don't believe it, really. Thanks very much, Gary. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, how about we make it a hat-trick tomorrow? It's your chance. You could be winning the next Cash Register amount, which is £38,798. But you need to be in the draw. To enter, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. And if you get a call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, answer within 5 rings and make sure you know the correct Cash Register amount. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2. Or you can enter by calling 0330 880 880. 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. Remember, it's over 18s only. And all the rules for this Hits Radio Scotland network competition are on our website. So for your chance to win £38,798, text YES to 61025 and you could be getting the call tomorrow.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can still get involved, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. That's what MJH10 has done, and he's wanting me to ask you, Mark, if you're playing in this year's Masters again.
Oh, I am. Of course I am. There wouldn't be a Celtic team without me in it.
To be fair, you might be asking so you can avoid if you're playing.
I don't buy any tickets. No, tickets on sale now, September 9th, I believe it is. I'll be there alongside... Actually, don't know who else is in my team. Maybe I should have asked who else was in my team before I signed up. But looking forward to it.
If you're the biggest name in the Celtic team, then he might
be... There's problems with ticket sales if that's the case.
I remember I went to a media day for one of these Master events a few years ago, and you get to interview some of the players, and it's weird because some of the players from other teams don't have any connection to Scottish football, so you're just finding a way to chat to them about anything. I was speaking to Robert Pires, and we got him to read out Scottish tweets, and we genuinely got him to say on camera, Hugh Keevans is a specky chip.
That's magnificent. That is on
the internet somewhere. That
think
I'm sure we'll be able to
find. Confused Robert Pires would be at that request. You know, thinking what does this even mean? But listen, Pires, myself, the big stars are there. I don't think DL will be there for Rangers or Motherwell or anything like that.
Not sure he'd even be able to kick the ball from the edge of
nobody wants to pay to see him.
That's true. Right. Right. Link involved, 0141 951 1025. James is a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. James, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, Andrew. Mark, I need to talk about the Champions League coming up. Last season we conceded 15 goals in 6 matches. Ralston, Starfelt, Hart and Taylor were all involved in it. And if we continue with the same back four, I think it could get worse. Now, Brendan knows his business. We need to buy a couple of decent centre-halves to, as the old saying in football, keep the door locked at the back. And Hart had a nightmare in the Champions League, an absolute nightmare. And I think Seacrest should be given a chance. And we've got this money mark sitting there. Surely Brendan will realise that they have to tighten at the back, but nobody seems to be mentioning this.
James, was the issue when it came to Celtic in the Champions League, was it personnel, do you think, or was it more to do with Ange Postecoglou's style of play? Because, you know, he said he wanted to go gung-ho against, you know, teams like Real Madrid and RB Leipzig, and it would open up Celtic. Does it need to be a big overhaul in the back four, or does it need to be more of a change tactically from Brendan Rodgers?
Honestly, I think we do now. It's all right playing this attacking football in the Scottish League because we're good and we can get away with it. But we can't do that in the Champions League. You have to think along the lines that we're coming up against top quality and they will rip us apart unless we have some sort of... You know, Brendan's plans might be shut the back door, which is good, but Ange didn't do that. Ange liked to play expansive football, which is good to watch. And OK, we could say we'd... plenty of chances to score goals in games. It could have turned it in our favour, but it didn't happen. But honestly, Mark, if you keep the same back four as what we've got now with Joe Hart, we'll not even finish third in the Champions League. We'll end up fourth.
Is that the big question, Mark, about whether it is personnel or whether it is about how you match up against these teams and how you set up?
Yeah, so personally, or personnel, I should say, I think the back four is in a good place at the minute, but that's the starting back four. If Carter Vickers drops out like he had done with injury, then I believe removing one of those players, you get real problems. So, you know, you've got Johnson there, solid. I think he'll get better. Carter Vickers, I think, and Starfelt, outstanding partnership formed, and I believe it'll only get better if they stay fit. And Greg Taylor, he had a magnificent season, and I really do hope he follows it up and gets even better. But I think you need competition there for Taylor as well, because I'm not quite sure about Burnaby. And probably another centre-half, like James is saying. Goalkeeper, maybe called into question because Brendan Rodgers likes to play a different way, so that might be a position. But look, I had the same argument as James back in the Champions League campaign. I was getting slaughtered from people in the show saying that, you know, this is the way Ange plays. And I made the point that James is making, that you have to be more pragmatic in these games. And although it's attractive to watch and it's brilliant, and Celtic fans, a lot of them went home happy sometimes. even being beat at home. But if your aim is progressing in Europe, you need to realise what you've got against what you're against. Now, I speak from past experience, played in a Celtic side who qualified for the last 16 twice, and we were nowhere near as good as some of the teams we come up against, but we still held, you know, AC Milan at home in the last 16 and 0-0 with greats like Kaká and Maldini and all that, and we still, you know, went to the Nou Camp and lost narrowly. And our team, I don't think our team was as good as the team now. So you have to find a way of playing. I just wonder if Brendan Rodgers will learn from his first time around in the Champions League.
Yeah, because you look at those two campaigns that you had in the group stages of the Champions League, and James is talking about Ange Postecoglou's side conceding 15 goals, was it, in those six games. Brendan Rodgers and his two campaigns conceded 16 and 18. Yeah. So will it need to be a case of... You know what it is, for Brendan Rodgers?
It will be, but you know what it is as well, Andrew? It's the luck of the draw and who you get pulled out against.
I mean, there was Barcelona and Manchester City were in one of the groups PSG. That year. PSG and Bayern Munich, wasn't it, another year? Yeah. So
it's whoever you get drawn against. Now, you would look at probably this year's group, I think, for Celtic and say Real Madrid, okay, far and away, you're going to get beat from them. But the other ones, it could have been a lot worse, but still came undone at times for Celtic. So I think James has a point. Maybe add to it personnel, but I think the way you play, I don't think you should just point the finger at the back four. It's quite often those in front of the back four that stops that attack getting to them. So you need to find where your strengths are and, yeah, play a wee bit more pragmatic when you come up against these big hitters.
Do you have confidence those changes will be made? James, can you see Brendan Rodgers making an impact in the group stages this season?
Hopefully. What I'm saying is, when you go back to the previous year, the mistakes we made, especially Joe Hart, he's kicking out and giving away penalties in Starfelt. You say to yourself, wait a minute here. Surely you've got to see that there's a weakness there. And I'm not saying that we'll do brilliant in the Champions League, but we want to get back our self-respect. I would take third spot in a minute. So at least we're getting there. But it's clear as day, this back four plus Joe Hart isn't good enough. Even a blind man could see that. We have to spend money. Simple as that. I'm not talking about going buying £25 million players or £20 million players, but at least buy two decent centre-backs who will make us harder when the ball comes in for corner kicks or free kicks that we can...
So do you not think Cameron Carter-Vickers is good enough for the Champions League group stages?
I think Johnston and Carter-Vickers, as Mark says, Johnston and Carter-Vickers is the two that I would keep in the team.
Greg Taylor got a lot of praise last season for being, you know, one of the most consistent players in Scotland.
Against Scottish sides, Andrew. That's not against Champions League quality. If you look at his 4-6 matches in the Champions League, he had a shocker, so did Starfelt, and the worst one was Joe Hart. That's a fact. You just need to watch the games and go, what's he doing? What I'm saying is, I hope we get back with self-respect, but we've got plenty of money, and I'm not turning and saying it. The new manager doesn't know what he's doing, but surely he'll change it and tighten up to get our self-respect back in Europe. That's all I want.
Joe Hart is a player that has continually come up this summer. A lot of Celtic fans have mentioned him. Is that being an area that Celtic maybe need to upgrade or improve in? Can you see that happening this summer?
I think Brendan Rodgers might go for another goalkeeper, whether he'll replace Joe Hart. I'm not quite sure about that. Joe Hart's a very good goalkeeper when it comes to shot stopping, which is the most important thing. Very good. Doesn't he like the ball at his feet? No doubt he made some mistakes, as James has just highlighted there, but lots of goalkeepers do. We've seen the problems before, Andrew. When you replace your goalkeeper, it could be a hard task. So if they do, they need to get it right. But I see Joe Hart starting the season.
Well, thank you very much to James. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for tonight. But I will be back tomorrow night in the studio from 6 o'clock with Kenny Miller. So make sure to join us then. Well, sure to be lots of talking points, of course, with the Viaplay Cup group stages starting on Saturday as well. Looking forward to those. But thank you for all your calls tonight. Thank you for your tweets and listening in as well. And thank you very much to Mark Wilson in the studio. But stay right there, because it's Amber that's up next, and she's got the likes of Calvin Harris and Lewis Capaldi playing next.